the Supreme Court just had its ruling and weighed in on the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, I'm extremely disappointed with their decision, and will do everything I can as an elected representative of an equal branch of government to see that the law is overturned. I still believe it's unconstitutional. I still believe it violates our rights and our liberties. And I know that my constituents have grown increasingly opposed to the legislation since it was passed 2 years ago. The Supreme Court did find one provision of the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. This is a provision dealing with basically the federal government's retribution to states who do not participate into the new Affordable Care Act mandates. As you know, the way the law was written, it basically would have withheld current Medicaid funding for current Medicaid recipients if they did not take up all of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act. The justices basically said that the federal government will have to hold harmless states who choose not to implement the Affordable Care Act, but rather choose to continue with the current Medicaid program. So a state like Illinois will be faced with the question of, do we further expand Medicaid and further expand health care beyond those that we're covering now at a time where we face a multi-billion dollar deficit in our ability to pay for current health care recipients? That is a question the legislature and the governor in Illinois will be faced with. On its face, the bill, as I said, is still unpopular with the American people. And the great thing about living in a democracy is that we are a government of the people and by the people. And while I have enormous respect for the Supreme Court in general, as I said earlier, I heartily disagree with their decision in this instance. They, too, are not a perfect body, and throughout our history as a country have been proven wrong on several of their own rulings. And so what's most important is the American people will have the opportunity to weigh in this November. And based on their reaction since the law was passed 2 years ago, it was one of the seminal issues in the midterm elections last cycle was the opposition to the president's health care law. It's one of the reasons why Republicans now control the House of Representatives, and I believe it will be one of the reasons why the country elects Mitt Romney in November as their president, and hopefully a majority in the Senate as well, is to overturn this health care law. So ultimately, the voters will get their chance to weigh in, one last chance on November 4th, and it'll be up to the people. I mentioned that Justice Kennedy and Justice Roberts were the two that acted the most undecided, that asked tough questions of both the Solicitor General as well as the 26 attorney generals who had filed suit. So they were truly being deliberative in their line of questions, asked, you know, tough questions of both sides, and really didn't show their cards or make their views known early on, whereas it appeared that other justices seemed more firm in their position, either for or against the law.
Congressman, did you find Judge Roberts's reasoning that essentially the mandate is a tax, did you find that to be maybe a bit tortured in a sense?
I think what his overriding theme of his opinion was that the court is charged with finding a way to if there's any way the court can uphold the law, it should. And that was basically what he said in page 30 or 31 of his opinion, was basically the court has a responsibility to try and uphold the laws that Congress passes, and if there's a ray of light or a way that they can do it, they should try and uphold the laws of Congress. And I think that weighed heavy on him to, you know, let the Supreme Court not look as though they're being activists. But the fact that it's a tax, I think, is something that many of us who were opposed to the law all along had been saying, that it was a tax increase, that it was a tax on the American people, that it was a tax on businesses. And I think the Supreme Court just affirmed that today. Well, the law itself has penalties for people who don't buy health insurance, and it's through a tax that's the penalty. And that's really what the justices said, is the only reason why that you can force somebody to, quote, buy a product is because they're really not forcing you to buy a product. They're really implementing a tax. So basically what they're, the way in which they collect the tax is the point at which you file your income taxes. And if you can't prove that you've had adequate health care coverage for the past year, even if you've gone 1 month, let's say you've worked 11 months out of the year, but 1 month you were unemployed and without adequate health care coverage, you will be taxed for that 1 month. And so that's what the bill says, and that's what the justices said is legal. Again, not that it's right or people agree with it or anything. They're just saying that is legal for Congress to implement a tax. So unless Congress or a new president overturns it, that will be the law of the land.
How do you see that, because the court obviously did find that one part unconstitutional, how do you see that affecting the state as it goes forward? Does the state kind of in limbo at this point? Will those changes that they've implemented actually be able to take effect?
You're speaking about the maintenance of effort requirement. And let me back up. I have encouraged the governor and legislature to rein in their Medicare costs. I have praised the governor and legislature for passing those bipartisan reforms. I've only been critical of the fact that the governor has not been more active in lobbying the president for the waiver that he needs in order to actually implement them. What this ruling of the unconstitutional, the federal state Medicaid program being ruled unconstitutional, basically the caveat that if you don't do what we say, if you don't implement our new health care bill, you won't get your current Medicaid money. By ruling that unconstitutional, it basically frees up a state from having to expand Medicaid in order to keep their current Medicaid dollars. So the Supreme Court basically said Congress cannot take away the current Medicaid money if states don't expand Medicaid. So for a state like Illinois that's got, you know, anywhere from $9 billion in unpaid Medicaid bills, they don't have to worry about implementing the exchanges. Remember, there was a lot of discussion about whether the governor would do that through executive order. Frank Martino, who's the chairman of the Insurance Committee, said he didn't have the support even in a Democratic legislature to implement the exchanges. That really means that so long as there's not support and so long as it's not the will of the legislature in Illinois, they won't have to do it in order to keep their current Medicaid dollars. So that's a good news story, if you will, for Illinois, and it's potentially saving the state billions of dollars. The expectation by the state's own numbers were that in the first year, they would have anywhere from 800,000 to 1 million new Illinoisans go on the Medicaid rolls if they had to comply with the new Medicaid expansion in the Affordable Care Act.